Good evening. My name is Mark Laredo, Counselor at Large from Ward 7, Chair of the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. I'm going to take a moment to go over our protocol, then introduce our counselors and staff. We're going to get to work right away. We are being audio taped, and we will be taking up 6 petitions this evening, some of which we will vote on, I hope, and they will go to the full council at its August 8th meeting. Others will not be voted on this evening, will be continued to a later date, most likely September 20th or September 27th. That's something I'm going to determine with the clerk. The way we work here in the Land Use Committee, if you haven't been here before, is if you have a petition, the petitioner or the petitioner's representative comes up to the podium, states his or her name and address, and provides us with a brief description of the project and the relief sought. We get a detailed memoranda from our planning department. We read that, and we do our work on this committee, so we read our materials in advance. The appropriate committee members will go out if they're not familiar with the site and actually visit the site. Particularly if you have a petition where the planning department seems to be in favor of what you're doing, you're welcome to keep your presentation short and to the point. I'm then going to entertain comments from the planning department each petition, questions from my colleagues, and then open it up to public comment from any member of the public who wishes to speak. Rules for speaking are very simple. I'll recognize you. You come up to the podium. You state your name and address. And I ask you to keep your remarks about 3 minutes or less, because it's important that not only do we get to hear what you have to say, but we have ample time to hear what everyone else has to say and also to deliberate on the petitions. It's my goal to be done by no later than 10 o'clock this evening. So let me just get started with some introductions and we'll get right to work. To my immediate left is Councilor Jim Cody, Councilor at Large from Ward 3. Next to Councilor Cody is Councilor Deb Crosley, Councilor at Large from Ward 5. In front of me is Scott Lennon, President of the City Council and Councilor at Large from Ward 1. And to my right is Councilor Greg Schwartz, Vice Chair of the Committee and Councilor from Ward 6. We have several members of our staff with us this evening. Rita Young from the Legal Department, Neil Cronin and Alexander Anand from the Planning Department, and our committee clerk, Nadia Khan. So with that, we have 2 items that we need to take care of for housekeeping matters. The first is 215-16, a special permit to construct parking stalls and retaining wall at Dungarens, in 344-346 Elliott Street, Ward 5. This is a request to withdraw this without prejudice. There were some issues with the actual filing process. This, a new petition is going to be filed and will be taken up at our August 9th meeting. So if anyone's here for Dungarens, we'll be back here on August 9th, which is a Tuesday evening. But at this time, I need a motion to accept the withdrawal. Councilor Crosley? All right. All in favor of withdrawal? 5 in favor, none opposed. It's withdrawn without prejudice. The next item is 177-16, a special permit to waive 13 parking stalls at 1375-1379 Washington Street by Ron Stoloff and Kenmore Realty Corporation. This is Ward 3. Again, a request to withdraw without prejudice. Councilor Cody, do I have a motion? Motion to withdraw. All in favor of allowing the motion to withdraw. 5 in favor, none opposed. The petition is withdrawn without prejudice. We have a request for a consistency ruling on 93-16. Who's here to present that?
I'll be presenting it.
Okay, if you want to go ahead and do that. And just for the public, what a consistency ruling is we have acted on a special permit request previously. The as-built proposal is somewhat different than what we allowed, and the Commission of Inspectional Services comes to us for essentially guidance or advice as to whether or not what is being built is consistent or not consistent with our special permit. So Ms. Renaud, if you want to take it up, please.
Sure. So this was a special permit that was approved in April, and it was for a rear addition to the existing house, which is being renovated at 413 Hammond Street. The petitioner is now proposing to pick up and move the existing carriage house on the property. The carriage house was not the subject of the special permit. They have gone through the Chestnut Hill Historic District Commission. They were at their meeting last Thursday night. That meeting was noticed. Abutters were notified, and they received approval to pick up and move the carriage house. They're not changing it, but in fact, the commission likes that the carriage house would actually be more visible from the street now. It also eliminates the paving from the back of the yard between the house and the carriage house, so it allows for more yard space. So the new location will remain compliant with accessory structure setbacks, and there is no change to the structure. It's just being moved.
Okay, so less impervious surface, a little bit closer to the street. Is that the bottom line on it?
Yes, more visible, not necessarily close.
More visible. Yes. Okay. Questions from the committee? All right. Do we need a vote? I always forget. No vote, but I think the consensus of the committee is no questions that we think is consistent. Great. Thank you very much. We've been joined by Councilor Jay Harney, Ward Counselor from Ward 4, also a member of the committee. All right. Next, our first substantive item, 214-16, special permit to allow three-story single-family structure at 65 Oakmont Road. This is Chris and Susan Kim, Ward 6, Newton Center. Good evening.
Is that on? Is my help?
I know.
Good evening.
Good evening, Alderman Laredo. My name is Peter Sachs. I live at 20 Hunter Street. I'm an architect for Susan and Chris Kim, who are here this evening, requesting relief for the expansion of their home. And I guess before I get started, I wanted to at least enter in. These are four signed petition support letters.
Were those given to the committee clerk earlier today? Or are they different than what we
said? Yeah, they got emailed, I think.
Yeah, I think we received emails from them, but that, please let's enter them in.
This will be original, and then there's some pictures if you would like to look at some pictures.
Yeah.
Copy. So I'll keep it brief. Essentially, their house and their yard has a considerable amount of ledge. The original house was built as really a two-story home. The basement is really a basement formed out of concrete. The house is effectively a one-story house with a basement, which is half a garage. And so, in order to expand the house, when you do the average grade around the building, the basement effectively is the first floor, so that any addition beyond the first floor of their house would necessarily be a third floor or expansion into a third floor. And so I believe that you have all the drawings, and to their credit, I'd like to say that the Kims did a wonderful job of showing the plans to their two abutters, one at 61 Oakmont, the other abutter at 89 Jackson Street, and then directly across the street from them on Oakmont, 66 and 65 Oakmont. So they really did a great job of seeking out input from their neighbors. I don't believe I have anything more to say.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Mr. Corian, is this yours?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, before, there's some interference. I don't know if it's your mic on or some. Sounds like there's interference back here. I don't know how well the folks can.
Better?
Yeah.
All right. All set?
Could you pull up? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Mr. Sack said before, this is a special permit to allow a single-family structure with three stories. When reviewing this request, the council should consider whether the site is an appropriate location for the expanded residence, and the request to allow a three-story single-family structure will adversely affect the neighborhood. There's a quick aerial of the project site at the corner of Oakmont and Jackson Street, just north of Route 9. And here is the proposed site plan, and the addition is going to be to the left there, as you can see, over the ledge, and it'll be a little bit back, sloped back towards Jackson Street. This is the existing front elevation, and this is the proposed front elevation with also the left side elevation showing the three stories. And I'll try to answer any questions the best I can.
Okay, questions by the councilors for anyone? Councilor Schwartz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I understand that the relief being requested is very straightforward, so I don't think that this is going to be an obstacle, but I'm just curious, with the FAR being up to the limit, and FAR being really a tool to try to get a sense of bulk, how does the planning department feel about the sense of bulk, even though the numbers just barely fit? How do you feel about that added bulk? It seems, I'll tip my cards. It seems a little big, like as far as it's. I know it's on a corner, and there's a pretty good side setback. So, or I'm sorry, rear, I guess officially, but it's pretty tall and massive just by the pictures and by the beautiful renderings. Do you feel in this particular case the FAR has captured the bulk effectively?
A good portion of the FAR is the basement, since the basement is counted as a story and that includes garage space. So if you go up to the third story and include that bulk, it is a, I think that the lot is roughly 13,000 square feet, so I think it is a good use of the lot, and it allows more space, given that the basement is essentially a garage.
As far as the height, I mean, so I know it's more of a kind of splitting of hairs as far as whether it's three or two stories, and in this particular case, because of the grade, it's considered three, but really, I mean, is there enough screening to make that kind of softer? It just seems pretty tall.
It does meet the height requirements of the district.
I know, 36 to 31.
Right. I think there is screening to the back. There is a single back. So you do have some screening way to the rear, and this plan doesn't capture it, but to the right, the neighbor there, I don't believe this encroaches on the neighbor to the right there. I think it's,
Sorry, go ahead.
I don't think it encroaches the neighbor to the right.
And do we have any kind of, comment? I know that we had four abutters. I didn't get a chance to look at exactly which properties those are. Can you point those out on the site plan, on the, on the area plan?
This is one where I didn't receive the letters of comment. They went straight to the clerk and then out to the committee.
I think Mr. Sachs wants to be able to comment on that. Go ahead, please.
So 89 would be the abutter that is Jackson Street is running that way, so that their backyard is the abutter is on Jackson Street, and so that is one abutter that has given them a letter of approval. And then
to the west on Jackson.
On Jackson, yeah. 89 Jackson.
To the west of them.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And then to the north would be, I believe, 61 Oakmont. And then directly across from their front door would be 66 and 65. So they were very careful to consult with their neighbors about it. I mean, unfortunately, there is a considerable amount of legend, so it's the actual presence of, well, I mean, perhaps any existing building would forward the same two-story situation. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
All set?
All set.
Councilor Crawford?
So, as far as the petition goes, I just want to say from the beginning, given what relief you are seeking, and I understand it, and it's this odd condition, as Councilor Schwartz just mentioned, that we have from time to time where there's a basement counted as a third story. So I have no problem with what you're asking us to do. And so I recognize that a conversation about FAR is outside of what we're supposed to do here. However, I think great Councilor Schwartz raises a good point that we might consider taking up in conversation as we're discussing next month how we might streamline some of our decision making, because I'll just suggest that when we have discussions about FAR, it forces us to have discussions about design principles, you know, about using massing to mitigate the appearance of that bulk and mass. And this is a good example if you're only looking at the rear elevation, which, again, I have no problem with because it's back to the street and so forth. You know, when you maximize the volume of a house and you have a very low-pitched, flattish, flatter than usual roof, it does make the building look very boxy and large, even when it fits into the FAR requirement. And I think that takes a lot of time for us to discuss on a lot of petitions. It's a difficult conversation that we have, and it definitely uses our time. So I know the August meeting is about looking at some of our rules and how we might make the process a little simpler.
Well, let's hold that for August 9th. And just so the public knows, on August 9th, as part of our dialogue as a committee, we're going to be talking about our special permitting process and what we as a committee can do in conjunction with the Planning Department and Inspectional Service Department to improve our process. Suggestions like Councilor Crosley had are exactly what I'm hoping we start talking about when we meet. So thank you. Anybody else who wants to questions or comments on this? Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, can I have a motion to close the public hearing? Motion to close the public hearing by Councilor Schwartz. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 6 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion to approve? Councilor Schwartz has a motion to approve. Mr. Cronin, the draft board order for us? Okay. Questions or comments on the two findings? Is that it for findings? Okay. Any questions? All right. Any conditions that are different or unusual?
Standard conditions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
All right, we have a motion by Councilor Schwartz. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor of the petition, the motion, excuse me. Six in favor, none opposed. It passes. Mr. Sachs, you know the drill from here. We'll take this up on August 9th. 8th, excuse me. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
All right, next, we have 216-16, a special permit to continue a non-conforming use in FAR 17-19 Pulsifer Street, Nancy Bolonis, Ward 2. Is the petitioner here on this one?
I'm Stephen Hamilton. I'm the architect on the project, and the petitioner is here too.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, Mr. Hamilton. Let me just preface it by saying that Councilor Austin Cross cannot be here this evening, and I'm certainly going to start this. I want to get this moving. But he asked that we hold this petition for a later night, and depending on how this goes and scheduling needs, we'll either try to take it up on August 9th or September 20th. Let's see how the evening goes in terms of your presentation and questions, and we'll try to determine what's most appropriate. Okay?
Okay.
Go ahead, please.
Our petition is to extend a non-conforming use. A brief description of the building. It was built in around 1910 in the backyard of the Manson House, the property that at 414 Walnut Street. It was carved out of that lot at that time. It is 2.5 stories, building of 1,500 square feet. It's is made of clay tile. It's a stucco surface, clay tile construction. And what we are proposing to do is to add two sunrooms on the first and second floor in the back. Because the house is fairly dark, so we're hoping to improve the lifestyle of the occupants to have more light, a room with a lot more light. We're proposing to add a third-story to grade stairway because presently the egress from the third floor is through a very compromised stair. The second egress is through a very compromised stair in the roof, under the roof eaves. So that's the reason for the exterior stairway. And we are adding, we're proposing to add a one-car garage and to bring the parking situation into compliance. Right now there's perhaps three parking spaces, but we will have four. We are also the other item that we're proposing is to add back a front porch, which, according to the permit jacket, was removed in 1946. And I haven't been able to find photographs of what that might have looked like, but we're taking a stab at putting back on a front porch that may be similar to what was there.
Have you had an opportunity to, or your client have an opportunity to speak with the neighbors about this project?
They have, several of the neighbors have seen the sign posted in the front yard and have come up and said they have no problem.
But has there been some affirmative effort to reach out to them, knock on their door, tell them what you're doing here?
No.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to tell us for the moment?
No.
Okay. Planning, Mr. Cronin, is this yours?
Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Special permit before you is to extend a non-conforming two-family use and increase the already non-conforming FAR for area ratio. When reviewing this request, the council should consider whether the site is an appropriate location for the expanded residence. The proposed expansion of a non-conforming two-family residential use is not substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming uses to the neighborhood. And the proposed increase in FAR from 0.51 to 0.58 or 0.40 is the maximum allowed by right, is consistent with and not in derogation of the scale, design, and size of other structures in the neighborhood. This is a quick aerial just to the west of the high school in Newtonville, and to the northeast is the Newtonville Commercial District. This is the proposed site plan. As Mr. Hamilton mentioned, the existing spaces at the front of the dwelling or the structure will be reoriented, allowing for access to the expanded driveway and to the one-car garage in the back. You can see the front porch is to be added, and also the sunrooms to the rear of the structure. And this is just the proposed front elevation. Not much has changed here besides just the addition of the front porch. And the rear elevation shows the proposed sunrooms and the proposed stairs from the third floor to grade. And I'll answer any questions.
Questions by my colleagues? So anyone?
Right.
I've got a couple here. So this is an exterior stairwell, and that doesn't strike me as typical for this type of project. Is there a reason that you think it's appropriate to have one here?
I think just the stairs to grade, I think you could have included them inside the dwelling, but I have to say I'm not familiar with the history of or the familiarity of external stairs to grade.
So the exterior stairway is going to go all the way from grade to the third floor and essentially provide an ability to enter both units through that exterior stairway?
Correct.
Okay. And you have no concerns with that at all?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Counselor Lennon?
Can we just ask the petitioner, what purpose does that really serve?
Sure.
I'm just trying to understand.
As I mentioned, from the third floor presently, there's one conforming stair, but there is not a second conforming stair. So the second stair is a very narrow, winding stair. And when talking with ISD, they said there's no way a fireman could get up that stair. If the primary stair was engulfed and the secondary stair was required for egress or for a fireman to get up, they could not get up because of the constriction of that second stair. And it's a typical back second stair in lots of houses in Newton, in old houses, and we're just trying to make it more compliant so that for fire hazards.
Was there thought given to making the stairwell part of the dwelling itself as opposed to being an exterior stairwell?
Well, there's no space within the building that we could do that. We could have added an addition, and it would still effectively be a separate add-on to the building, but that's what we're proposing here, and we're hoping that by aligning it next to the sunrooms, that we're putting it in the same volume and the same mass so that it's not protruding by itself.
Forgive my ignorance. So you're adding the sunroom as part of this process in both units. Why not just include the stairwell within that addition?
Well, we chose to have it separate so that a person on the second floor can, from the second floor unit, it's a two-family unit, they can go directly out without having to go through somebody's sunroom.
In other words, the concern would be that without, you did not feel you could design it in such a manner that you could create two separate doorways or anything like that that would be enclosed?
We're trying to make it as small as possible, but that's why we...
Making what as small as possible? The addition?
The stairway and the sunrooms are only 12 by 14. We're trying not to make it a big thing, so this was our choice for making it as small a compliant stair.
And the garage that you're proposing to put in, that's going to be to the rear of the property?
Correct.
And what's there currently?
Nothing.
And was there some thought to making the garage closer to the dwelling as opposed to being at the rear of the property?
There's limited side setback. There's a port on the side where the garage is, and this garage then would impede visually with that porch. We didn't want to have it abut the house. We didn't want it to be close to the house where it was. The house actually, it's not elegant, but it is a very strong mass by itself, and we're trying to keep that, especially from the front and the two sides, and that's why we're only building on the back of it.
Okay. Questions by my colleagues? Councillor Schwartz?
I guess this is just a follow-up for the chairman's question. I think that the question that I didn't hear answered, which, you know, certainly a design decision is, or maybe an FAR decision is why not just in the same exact part of the footprint that you're putting that stair, why not enclose it? Is that a concern about volume, FAR? Because essentially it looks like a fire escape at this point.
Yeah, that's exactly my thought.
Well, we didn't want to have any structure go above the second floor, and it would then have to append to the half or the third story in order to have it be accessible there. So, in other words, from the third floor, you come out an exterior door onto the landing and down. So we're trying to keep the mass from, we didn't want the addition, the new structure addition, to be three stories high, which it would have to be to have an enclosed stair going all the way up there.
So there is an entrance to the stair, though, from the third floor top of the sunroom.
Effectively the second floor of the upper unit.
So it's essentially like a porch almost. It's like an outdoor landing that then leads to the stair.
Yes.
I see. Okay. I think that explains it to me. Thank you.
Councilor Clausen?
Just a comment, but then I'd like to, if there's any public comment, I'd like to hear it.
Sure, no, I want to hear it.
But essentially, the stair is really not part of the request. If we were to approve the sunrooms as the additional, because that's what's causing the additional SAR, they'd come in and put a fire escape on any time they want, because it doesn't contribute to the mass of the building, and it's an egress. So I'm not sure why folks are concerned about that, but it would also increase the mass and increase the relief they were asking for FAR. I do see the stair you were talking about that's inside the building, and I suppose you'd have to take the back wall off to extend it if you wanted to make that one conforming. So I don't know which one is more expensive. But I guess I just wanted to comment on that. I can see why you wouldn't want to enclose it here and add more structure, and your FAR request would be much higher, and then you'd have to attach it to the roof and all that. But I think all we're supposed to be looking at here is the additional FAR presented by the garage and the two sun porches.
Right, but we are on a special permit. I think we can... I understand that.
Well, I just want to make the point. It's an egress stair, and so it's, I mean, he could take it out now if we have a problem with it. I'm not sure why we would have a problem with it, because it's not part of the mass, and it's rear-facing. This actually seems like a very straightforward proposal to me that makes an existing building, and it improves it. It improves the condition. I don't think there's any way to get these cars out of the front setback, which might be more concerning, but it's an existing two-family with an existing situation that's getting improved. I just wanted to make a comment.
Thank you. Councilor Cody?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I have a question basically on the entire project itself. So I understand that we're here for this particular special permit, but when I look at the building itself, it looks like there'll be a lot more work done to it, and sometimes this stuff comes back with neighbor requests for different things, what's going on. So what other things will be done, such as the siding, the roof, and all the soffits around it? Is anything being done on the project of the whole scope? Or?
No, the when the property was built, was bought, it changed hands, the slate roof was repaired, and the stucco finish was repaired. So other than the what's
And again, I want to reiterate that this building is made out of hollow clay tile, which is very difficult to cut out of. The only opening we're making in this whole project is enlarging a window to a door. We're just cutting down from the using an existing window to make a door to exit onto the sunroom. So that's one reason why we're not. We first looked at improving that existing second stair, but you'd have to take out the roof, you'd have to redo the clay tile building, so that wasn't feasible. So in the front porch is not going to affect it will have to cut a reglet into the stucco where the roof ties in, but just for drainage, but that's all. So we're proposing not to really change the existing building at all.
So the existing appearance of the stucco will remain the same, but the front porch, you'll be able to fit that in?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Questions? Councilor Schwartz?
So I appreciate that a colleague from Ward 5 reminded us that we're not approving anything more than the sunrooms and the garage. So let's talk about the sunrooms. So we're adding to the FAR of 0.51, going up to 0.58. How much of that, if the staff could tell me, is from the sunrooms and how much is from the garage?
I don't believe I know the size of the sunrooms. I believe the garage, I want to guess, that could be up as 150 square feet.
The garage is 12 by 22, which is 244. Is that a calculator?
264.
Thank you, 64, yeah. And the sunrooms are 12 by 240.
Is that right? Sunrooms are 240.
Yep.
So we're going from, I guess 0.40 is the maximum allowed by right, and we're going to almost 0.6. Was there ever a garage as part of this property before?
Not that we know of.
Okay.
But our limit, unfortunately, is that this property is only 7,600 square feet.
It's a small lot.
It's a very small lot. And it's got, the house is not small, but it's very, very boxy. I mean, it's a pure, simple rectangle. So that's our limitation, is we have a small lot. If our lot was compliant, 10,000 or so square feet, then the FAR would be well under.
Right, that's always the case. Yeah. Bigger the lot,
so
it's smaller the FAR.
So we're starting with a problem property. That's the point. That's why it's non-conforming, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and the garage is how close to the lot line?
5.2 and 5.3 feet.
Thank you.
Any other colleagues, questions, comments? We've been joined by Councilor Lenny Gentile, Councilor at Large from Ward 4, not a member of the committee, but always welcome at land use. All right, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Yes, sir. Come on up, please, to the podium. Again, state your name, your address, and try to keep your remarks to about 3 minutes, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. My name is Ron Nedeltovic. I'm here with my wife, Annette. We reside at 414 Walm Street, and we are here tonight to urge members of the Land Use Committee to reject this petition, application for variance hearing, due to several features of the design which are inconsistent with the character of the neighborhood and other surrounding residences. In examining the criteria that the Planning Committee published in terms of their recommendation to approve this petition, they stated that this would not be a derogation to the size and scale in comparison to other properties in the neighborhood. My question to the Planning Committee is what properties were used to make this determination? In the rectangle of land that's bounded by Walnut Pulsifer, Clyde, and Cabot. There are 13 properties. Of those 13 parcels of land, the parcel of land at 1719 Pulsifer Street is the smallest. There are several houses of those 13 that are just as large or larger, but sit on much, much larger lots. 33,000 square foot lots, 15,000 square foot lots. So the benchmark FAR for that particular area is what we're starting at is far in excess of what's already there. So what they'll be comparing this property to, there are two properties across the street from this house. They're on similarly sized lots. It's 7,500 square feet, but homes are a much, much smaller scale. They're approximately 1,600 square foot homes, so modestly sized homes, and very, very different from the said residents. So as I examine some of the specific architectural plans, there are elements of this proposal in listening to the architect tonight that I think are of merit and will enhance the property. I think the expansion of the front porch, particularly if it can be done in a way that it recreates what was demolished in the 1940s, I think that'll add to the overall character of the many late 19th century homes in the area. I noticed there's a side ramp. I suspect that's to allow ADA access to the building. I think that's a welcome addition. I think the rear sun porches are acceptable. They certainly, as was pointed out, they can enhance the quality of life of the residents in the building. However, there are several features which I think are unacceptable. As has been pointed out by other members of the committee, the external three-story staircase is inconsistent with any other building that's in that neighborhood. As was pointed out, it reminds many people to see it of a exterior fire escape. The garage, which now together with the main building, driveway, additional porches, parking, it adds density to an already crowded lot, which we already learned, is 7,600 square feet. There's only so much that can be crammed in one particular lot. Our properties actually share the corner, so a corner lot line. So mine is the property that's directly in front of it, and this was the property that was carved out in 1910. There are many mature trees that are in that particular corner, and I'm concerned that there has been no landscape plan that's been put through. If a garage is built, I think building a garage within 5 feet of the setback is not appropriate for this location based on the landscape that's there. So I think we're not here to debate ultimate plans and considerations, but I think, as was mentioned by some of the other members here, increasing the setback is a way to potentially remedy that. The curb cut, which is proposed at 22 feet, seems excessive to me, and the additional parking spaces in the front setback aren't present in really any other residence that's in that neighborhood. So those represent some of our serious concerns with the design and development of this property. They're consistent with the concerns of several other neighbors that are here with us tonight. We just don't see how these modifications that are inconsistent with the scale and character of the neighborhood justify permission to allow expansion of an already non-conforming FAR. So we welcome the architect and the owner to reconsider and redesign an alternate plan and bring it before the committee and the other residents who's in the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Others who wish to speak on this petition, anyone? All right. I don't see anyone right now. Mr. Clay, do you want to come up and speak? Oh, I'm sorry. Good evening.
I'm Peter Berenger. I live at 35 Pulsifer Street with my wife, Pat. I'd intended to show up tonight just to be with the neighbors who have some objections. They've touched on most of them already. But I think the biggest concern that I would have is that there was not any real affirmative attempt to engage the neighborhood in any conversation about these the extension of the non-conforming elements on this lot. I see a lot of these requests for special permits coming forward. Almost all of them that are successful, it seems to me, start with a community consultation so that the neighborhood voice has been heard. And I think this just kind of clutters the process a little bit by starting ahead of the consultation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Sir, come on up, please. Good evening.
Thank you. Yes, I'll be quick. I'm Ronald Walworth. I live at 372 Cabot Street. Our backyard looks out onto this property, and I would endorse what you heard already. I think there's a friendly group of neighbors there that could work well with the architect and the owner to work something out. But this is really excessive for the reasons that you heard from the consensus opinion of the neighborhood. Already that home has many cars parked. It wasn't shown on the photo. They often sprawl across the front yard, and we're worried that this would just really turn the place into a parking lot and as well as this fire escape light back stairs. Kind of excessive, but we're happy to speak with the owners and the architect and work something out. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak? Come on up, please.
Hi, I'm Nancy Galanis. I'm the brand new owner of the property. I live there by myself on the second and third floor with my elderly mother on the first floor. I wanted a fire escape for my adult children when they come home because I'm a physician, like this gentleman, apparently, who's my back neighbor, who's never stopped by either to say hello. And any cars outside don't belong to me. It's just myself and my mom. So I guess this is a nice welcoming to the neighborhood of Newton.
All right. Anyone else wish to speak this evening? All right. We're not going to vote on this evening. As I indicated, Councillor Auchincloss has asked that we hold this. I intend to put this on for August 9th, which is 2 weeks from tonight. I am going to ask two things. One, I'm going to ask that anybody interested in this confirm that with our committee clerk the week beforehand. I want to make sure Councillor Auchincloss is available on the 9th. And I'm going to really urge the petitioner and the architect to talk to the neighbors before then, try to discuss this. I think my experience is that conversation, I think it's shared by my colleagues, conversation with one's neighbors in these types of circumstances is often extremely useful, even if you don't end up agreeing. And if you don't agree, we take up the petition. If there's no changes, we take up the petition. We vote on it one way or the other. That's our prerogative. It is not that we get to decide that the neighbors get to say no. It doesn't work that way with special permits. But at least my experience is when people talk to one another, listen to one another's concerns, sometimes you actually produce better plans for the petitioner, plans that are more amenable for the neighbors. So I'm going to urge you, ma'am and Mr. Hamilton, if I got that right, to try to sit down after we're done here this evening and try to set the time when you can chat with your neighbors. I know Councillor Auchincloss would be willing, I think, to talk with you about that and try to facilitate something if that would be helpful. But I know that my colleagues had a couple of comments. So, Councillor Schwartz, did you have something you wanted to add?
Just in advance of the follow-up meeting, I was just wondering, two points have been raised, and they weren't fully covered in the memo, so I was asking the staff to look at, I guess, one, the curb cut. There was a comment in the memo that it's not allowed to widen to 22, so I'm not sure where that's left. And secondly, the parking in the front setback. It sounds like there are two spots in the front setback. I don't know if there's relief that's being required or requested for that.
No relief is required for parking in the front setback.
Really? There's no limit?
You can have two spaces in the front setback.
And does that include the driveway space?
The driveway space is not in the front setback.
Even if the driveway goes all the way to the front setback? Like, what prevents them from parking in the driveway and the two angled ones near the street? If the driveway, does that not count as in the setback? Anyway, if you could clarify that for us,
I'd like to clarify that. Maybe my memory is wrong, but I seem to remember petitions where we have people coming in seeking relief to be able to park in the front setback.
It's a two-family, I'm being told.
It's going to include parking in the front setback.
And that excludes the driveway, does not count?
The driveway is going to go through the front setback. It's not being shown on the site plan as one of the parking spaces that they routinely park there, other than lots of us who park in wintertime because we're not planning on our whole driveway. That would be an issue because it's not consistent with what the parking is shown on the site plan, but it's not being shown as one of the parking spaces in the driveway.
And I'm not suggesting they're doing it or not, but because they didn't show it as a parking space in the driveway, you're not counting it, but they could park there and then have two extra spaces in the setback? I gotta tell you, if that's an interpretation, I'm troubled by that. I mean, that defies logic to me.
We'll have a clarification on
okay.
that.
Okay, I think it'd be very helpful. And Mr. Corner, we don't need to do it this evening, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's not the first time I've been wrong. But I do want to understand that. Okay. Councilor Schwartz, did you want to add something else?
Just was wondering what the answer was on the curb cut.
As in the memo, the curb cut cannot be extended to 22 feet. It's going to have to stay what it is now.
But it's shown as 22 feet, right? Or is it not?
Right. It's not going to be allowed to do that. It has to stay at the existing.
That's a change in the zoning recently since before the project was done. So we will keep it at 20.
Okay.
You can see how the park. Now, I rebut about the parking. All we're doing is bringing the parking into compliance, because right now there are not four spaces required for two family house. There are only three spaces presently.
Right, but you're not counting any of the driveway as part of the parking.
Yes,
correct?
We are. This is a two family house,
yeah.
So that for one of the families, two spaces are required. For the other, two spaces are required.
Right.
The two diagonal parking spaces in the front setback are for one of the units. The garage is one parking space. Parked in front of the garage, tandem, which is required for the same owner, that's where those two parking spaces
are. So you are going to be utilizing the driveway for one of the parking spaces already? Okay. All right. That makes sense.
And so that car has to get out if a garage car is coming, but that's the same owner. The other two, diagonally in the front setback, they can get out without having any cars to move. So the garage owner's car has to be parked forward of the egress for the two diagonal cars for them to get out.
I still like clarification for our next meeting just to get the rules right. I just want to be sure we're correct. I mean, I appreciate the explanation. Councilor Crosby, did you want to add something?
Yes, please. I don't know if this is for the petitioner and or the planning department, but I think the site plan that's sketched here is pretty clear about what you want to do for parking. But I heard someone say this car is parked all over the front right now. I'd love to understand what the existing condition is, not just in terms of where the pavement is, but in terms of how the property is actually used. Because hearing those things, it seemed to me that by organizing the parking, we're making an improvement. And if the petitioner was willing to and I think we would want to condition some things to make sure, in fact, that cars are not parking all over the front of the yard, if that is what is happening. And I do think a landscape plan would be appropriate to show.
Was there a reason we don't have a landscape plan if one wasn't asked for?
There are two trees that are planted to mitigate the garage on site plan.
As part of conservation.
Would we ordinarily have asked for a landscape plan on this type of petition?
Well, could we show them on the site plan that we have, or that is here?
Sure.
Could it be amended to just show what the intention is?
I believe the trees are on the site plan.
Yeah. Where? So, The one's a little too close to the gas line.
I'm looking at sheet AA. This is the site plan that you sketched, not the engineer's site plan.
On the engineer's site plan, I apologize. That's where the trees are indicated.
Which is which number?
Spell down
to you. It says drainage plan of land.
Is there a page number, though, or...?
I am truly not seeing them, so...
Could you just direct us to Mr. Clemens?
I think we have different packets. I think I have the drainage plan, whereas you have just the sketch site plan.
We have the certified plot plan, not the fully engineered drainage plan. The point is, could we just see what is being proposed? And
we're not asking for this incredibly expensive landscape plan. We just want to see what's going to be done.
Yeah.
There are two trees. There's also, with the packet, the existing plot plan, which does show the existing driveway. And there are... I've only been doing the project for less than a year, but I've never seen a car parked on the grass. And so there have been construction vehicles working on this project, so there may be two or three trucks in the existing driveway space as part of the construction effort, but that will not happen in the future. There may have been, with previous owners, there may have been cars all over the place. We are not a part of that.
Is there construction going on currently on the site?
No.
So you just...
The interiors were redone. Yes.
So the interiors have been redone. That work is completed. That work was permitted properly, and now you're coming for relief for some additional special permit.
Yes. And the reason the stair was proposed was because, as I said, Inspection Services did not allow that back stair. They had a problem with that back stair and said, you know, you ought to put an exterior stair on. And that's what we did.
Okay. All right, Councilor Crosby?
So just on that point, because I'm a little confused, this is an existing, legally non-conforming two-family. Is that correct?
Correct.
So it's in use as a two-family.
Yes.
And you're not changing the use.
No.
And the two egress stairs that exist within the building exist with the current use in place. So how can ISD know?
Yes, there are two stairs, but one of the stairs is not in compliance.
I realize that, but you're not changing the use, so how is that driving a code change? I don't, that's my question.
It's not driving a code change. It's just driving an improvement because it's not a non-usable stair.
So what I'd love for the planning department to qualify perhaps with ISD, in my experience, if you're not proposing to add to a building or change a use, then an existing non-compliant stair, just as it would be in your own house, and nobody comes in your house when they do an inspection and say, you have to rebuild your stair because it has six winders on the turn, right?
That's right. You're right. We did not have to do it, but we wanted to do it
because you wanted to make it safer.
Yes.
Okay. Fine. That I understand.
All right. Questions? All right. We're gonna try to take this up on the 9th, but I'm not gonna do so unless this is ready. Okay. So if for some reason Mr. Hamilton, by, you know, early next week, it looks like you're not going to be able to arrange an opportunity to meet with Councilor Auchincloss and the neighbors, let the committee clerk know and we'll put you on in September. Is there any urgency to the... I know every person who comes here wants to proceed expeditiously, and we work very hard to do so. Is there any particular urgency to this work that we need to know about?
No.
Okay. All right. We're going to hold this item then. Is that okay with everyone? Do we need a motion? Can a motion hold? Yeah, can I have a motion to hold? Moved by Councilor Crosby, all in favor of hold. Councilor Schwartz, 6 in favor, none opposed, is held. Either the 9th of August or September 20th,
please check with our committee clerk next week to get a definitive date. Nadia, do you want to get their email addresses, or do you want them? If you want to, Ms. Khan will be kind enough to get email addresses of anybody who wants to be notified. Okay, so Steph Hart will take care of you for that. All right, thank you all. All right, next, 217-16. This is New Newton LLC, Daniel Vito, petition for a special permit at 5052 Rose Street, Ward 4. Our agenda notice will start at 8 or a little bit later. I note we're at 8:03, which I think is pretty good for us. We're trying to be a little bit better in that regard. I'm going to note at the outset we're not going to vote this item out this evening, just so we're really clear on that. So good evening, Attorney Morris. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm the attorney of the office of the 57 Elm Road, Newton, and I'm here representing New Newton LLC and Mr. Daniel Vito, the owners of the property. If I may, Mr. Chairman, I want to open with a few procedural remarks, because I know you've asked the previous petitioners about input from the neighborhood, and I wanted to give you a brief background on that. Councilor Harney and I were able to meet at the site sometime last month, and subsequent to that, I reached out to Councilors Gentile and Councilor Sangelo, made available to them copies of the plans in advance of well in advance of this hearing. We would have liked to have had the opportunity to have a neighborhood meeting, but due to conflicting schedules and summer vacations and whatnot, that was not possible. So, some 10 days ago, I personally hand-delivered hard copies of the full set of plans to each of the 8 owners of property immediately abutting the site, 2 of whom responded to my offer to discuss the matter in more detail, just for the record. Now, more to the substance of the petition. I really am quite pleased to be here representing this client because I think this project is a good one. I mean, that may seem self-serving, but a lot of thoughtful care and attention has gone into the site plan and the design of this project. With me this evening is Mr. Ron Jarrett, the architect. Ron and I, I'm proud to say, have collaborated on a number of projects, both special permit and otherwise, which have involved the preservation of historic buildings. One matter, and I would also reach out and say that City Planner Michael Gleiber is not here this evening, but having read his report, I would say it's probably one of the most comprehensive reports I've seen, particularly since this involves a petition for the extension of non-conforming use for property that is zoned for single residence, even though many of the residences, in fact, all of the abutting residences on this street are two-family houses and therefore non-conforming in and of themselves. Normally, I put together a paradigm or to set a context for this petition, but as I said, Mr. Gleiber has done that quite well, and I won't repeat what he said. I trust that you've all read that. I will, however, point out some things. One of the things that's missing from that report is the evolution of this project. We began this project, as one would expect, at the Historic Commission. We had 2 meetings, right? We had 2 meetings for the Historic Commission, and do you have them? Okay. Let's see where we're at. Which one? Right or left? Oh, this is actually the site, the locus, which I will get to in a moment. What? Oh, the pointer, thank you. Obviously, I'm a novice at doing this. This is the locus of the site. You see the property. Where's my... Where? There we go. There's the house. And there you see that that flexibility, which is no longer there, is the barn that is referred to in the planning report that was situated there for many years and actually housed a commercial use, which was later removed with the removal of the structure. One of the interesting things about this is you'll see that this site a very large manufacturing zone back in here off of Rose Street. Quite an unusual feature, which I will refer again to in my remarks. This is an aerial photo. In the center there shows the a close-up of what was there prior. You can see that actually the barn itself is almost as big as the house was, located to the rear of the site. You also see various views of the building, largely as they stand currently. What you see here is the inspiration photos, because this petition does involve the erection of a second, the dwelling on the site. And when I say that we took some great care to design this project, we largely designed the second two-family home and located on the site to the rear of the site, and designed it as if it could be could have been a carriage house to the main house, which you see is dominated by the Gothic style identified by the steep pitch roof on the front, that is a hallmark of the Gothic architectural style, which we try to replicate. These are existing conditions. Knowing so well my limitations of being able to talk and signal at the same time, I've asked Ron to help me out here. There you see, actually, in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a drawing of the existing conditions. Here's the photo, same photo. Back. Keep going. Should have run.
We have a lag, I'm sorry.
What? What's that? Well, let me proceed while we have technical difficulties.
The one with the house.
There it is, down the bottom. You see the existing house in photo. It's the photo in the center on the bottom. And when Ron brings up the elevation, you'll see how we treated that. I'm illustrating this because when we went to Historic Commission and got approval for this design, it was unanimously approved 6-0, and I can safely say that the commission members were quite effusive in the praise of the architect and the treatment that he accorded this building in an attempt to make it a restored Gothic style home. We're working, obviously this committee is called upon to work within the framework of the zoning ordinance and the zoning map. And also you draw upon other documents, the comprehensive plan, 2007 comprehensive plan. And more recently we've seen the mayor come out with a housing proposal to increase the housing stock in the city. One of the hallmarks of the comprehensive plan is to basically diversify the housing stock. I've stood before this committee countless times with petitions for housing development like this, or actually unlike this, in that this project, unlike some of the townhouse developments that I've advocated for here, this project actually takes to heart the mandate of the comprehensive plan to diversify the housing stock. The planning project rightly pointed out that the two units that are located within the new structure are 900 and 1,400 square feet and do address a need in that area. The other thing, on page 3 of the report, page 5 of the report, excuse me, page 7, Page 5 of 7. A planning department report really contrasts the pros and the cons here. The pros obviously are that we are restoring and preserving a historic house. We're providing two units, smaller units to meet the comprehensive plan goals. We're actually improving the site plan by eliminating a lot of asphalt that was there, reminiscent of the former commercial uses that were on the site. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the site, or in conjunction with Mr. Gruber's analysis of the setting or the context for this petition, he basically expresses some concern that somehow, if we were to allow this extension in a single family, in a single residence zone, whether that would establish some sort of guideline for other similar non-conforming lots in the city, is the language that he uses. I would say to you that this highlights an argument that has been made often before the Land Use Committee, and that is, when you make a decision, are you creating a precedent, or is every situation unique because, in fact, the property itself is unique? And I would say that either way you come down on that issue, this is truly a unique petition, because where else are you going to find a lot that was created over time that is only 15 feet short of having a frontage and 300 square feet short of having the lot area for a two-lot subdivision? It is the second largest lot in the residential lot in the neighborhood. The abutters on both sides and across the street, all of them are two-family homes, despite the zoning. It's unlikely that you're going to find a situation in the future where someone could look back on what you might do here and say, well, you've got to do something in that situation as well. Should we go to the site plan?
Anything else, Mr. Morris?
Yes, we're almost done, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I think it's all summed up really in the planning department's report. It says that all of the information about the 41 lots in the greater neighborhood, 19 of them are two-family dwellings with fewer square feet per unit than the proposal, and 22 are non-conforming single or two-family dwellings. The information indicates that the proposal would not be expected to produce conditions for a built environment dissimilar to or inconsistent with those already commonly present in the neighborhood. And I think that is really the strongest argument that we could make. I would also suggest to you that there are many reasons why this property was rezoned. Years ago, it was in a private residence district. The highlight of that district was single and two-family homes, which were meant to coexist side by side. In fact, you have a neighborhood that still conforms to that pattern, but for some reason, some time ago, it was rezoned to single residence, and I suggest the zoning ordinance allows you to remedy some of the shortcomings of situations like this, and as a result, approve a project which I think furthers those goals that have been articulated quite clearly in the comprehensive plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Planning, do you want to present? Who's presenting this one?
I'm going to present the project.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so this is a request to extend a non-conforming use and dwelling to allow for a second two-family dwelling on the lot, as well as expand the existing structure. As the applicant noted, it is a large lot of about 19,000 square feet. There's an 1860s house on the structure that the applicant is proposing to preserve, but the site is zoned single residence 3. The special permits required for this project are to further extend a non-conforming two-family residential use in the SR zone and to further extend the non-conforming, thank you, lot area per unit. When reviewing this request, the council should consider whether the extension would not be substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood than the existing use, that the reduction in the lot area would not be substantially more detrimental, that the site, and then the general special permit findings, the site is an appropriate location, the use will not adversely affect the neighborhood, there will be no nuisance to vehicles or pedestrians, and access is appropriate. I believe the applicant already discussed the context. We wanted to note that there are a lot of non-conforming uses in the neighborhood. The existing property being a two-family, surrounded by two families, and then the large commercial parking lot right behind the site. We included the zoning maps as well as land use maps to help highlight the lack of conformity in the neighborhood to the map zoning. The existing site plan contains a lot of paving, as well as the curb cut. Presumably this was because it led to the barn, which is no longer on the property, and I believe was used for a business use. So the new plan keeps the curb cut in the same place, and the existing house would be extended towards the rear. A carport in between the two structures would contain parking for two cars, and two other stalls would be accessed off the driveway. And then the new residential structure on the southeastern corner. I won't talk about the elevations too much unless anyone has questions, since the applicant explained it. Overall, this project really brings up a lot of interesting and complex issues. The benefits of the project are that they're preserving an existing structure, and they are adding two modestly sized units, which is something that the city tends to be looking for. They are decreasing the amount of paving on the site. There did used to be a barn in the approximately in the location of the proposed new structure. But the real complex issue here is that in many ways the zoning is a mismatch for the neighborhood. I think if this were a multi-resident zoned lot, I could easily see a special permit for attached dwellings and looking at 3 to 4 units. But this project brings up the concept of extending a non-conforming use and adding 2 more units in a neighborhood zoned single family. So we're making a non-conforming use further non-conforming by adding additional units and decreasing the lot area. I do like the concept of the carriage house design that NHC, the Newton Historic Commission, was supportive of the design. So it's a complex project to discuss.
Thank you. Questions or comments by my colleagues, or do you want to? Would we prefer comments first? Why don't we put public comment? Who wishes to be heard on this? Come on up, sir.
Good evening. My name is Philip Koska. I live at 64 Rose Street, and I'm here on behalf of the 6264 Rose Street Condo Association. I've put together a slide for the committee. Can I pass that around?
Of course.
Thank you. I'm here representing the interests of the 6264 Rose Street Condo Association. That includes Chi Chen, Rui Zhua, Simak Mortari, and Anita Malik. As the immediate neighbors of 5052 Rose Street, we have some concerns and would like to put together some points regarding rejecting this proposal from the new Newton company. After reviewing the proposal, specifically the carriage house, we had concerns around Unit 3 and Unit 4 being specifically too close to 6264 Row. She had spoke with Alexandra about this the other day, where she confirmed that Unit 4 would actually be 12 feet away from the 6264 Row property. So in addition to it being a lot of construction and noise and excavation and pavement and building of this home, we have concerns that because it's so close to the unit, that it will actually be a detriment to the value of both 62 and 64 Rose Street as home values, because we have such a densely proportionated housing proposal, but the thing is literally going to be right next to the fence of the 62-64 Row. The second point is, I understand that this is kind of an attractive proposal because you're talking about adding more multi-unit family homes, and it's something of a challenge in Newton to have multi-family homes. There's so many single-family units that are detached But after doing some research around the one-structured, one-family detached units, I found out that Auburndale is actually one of the more densely populated neighborhoods in comparison. Specifically, if you look at my slide that I put together, about 50-50 breakout between the one detached family homes and multi-family homes. As was mentioned before, I live in a two-family unit. There's a larger condo association down the road. There are a number of homes that are multi-family units on the other side. And then in the immediate neighborhoods, neighboring specifically the Rose Street area, the breakout of multi-family homes is actually 52, 53, and 66%. So most of these homes in Auburndale are actually multi-family homes. There aren't as many single-family detached units as the data, and the data would suggest that in places like Wobbin, Newton Center, Chestnut Hill, that there's a greater challenge and there would be more of a greater impact if you considered alternative proposals that have multi-family units there. Because with Auburndale, there's the barrier to entry there, given the fact that there's so many multi-homes, is not as high as in the other parts of Newton. So I'll conclude, but thank you guys for the
thank
time.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else?
Hold on. I just want to ask.
No. Do you want to ask this gentleman a question? Sure, go ahead,
Councilor Attento.
So I'm just curious, have you had any contact with the petitioner himself regarding the project? Have they reached out to you?
They had provided the actual proposal and sent it around the neighborhood. Unfortunately, we were on vacation at the time, and then the group was on vacation after we returned, so we couldn't really...
So is that when Attorney Morris mentioned that he hand-delivered the plan?
Yes.
So I'm asking, I think Attorney Morris said they've been working on this for a year, starting with the Historic Commission. At any time before you got handed a set of plans, did anybody contact you to get your opinion on what they were thinking about doing and having a neighborhood meeting?
I personally have not been contacted.
Okay. Thanks. Neither have I. Don't feel bad.
Yes, you want to come up and speak, sir? Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Michael Wardell, 334 Wolcott Street. I had sent an email letter to the committee, hopefully you're in two seats, and our alderman present. There is a bit of a storied history with this site that stretches back, and I want to clarify some of the factual information. There was a small, non-conforming mom-and-pop business that had been on the site in the 1950s, a soda pop delivery service. Subsequent to that, an illegal business moved on the site, and the city had to step in and force compliance through legal measures. And it was a pretty substantial fight on behalf of the city. There were charges and fines. So what happened during that time was the property, was a little bit neglected. So when the property was sold, the carriage house, the historical carriage house, and I don't know, how we allow that to happen. A lot of towns protect the carriage houses, was demolished. Its location is not in the exact location as the proposed structure. If we go back to previous permitting and site plans, we can probably find it very close to being contiguous to the main house. It was a very close structure. It was, I wouldn't say it was in the best condition, but it was an elegant carriage house, confirming with the architectural features of the house. The driveway was a narrow driveway with a crushed stone overflow area where the illegal business was parking. So there was no previous approved use. There was illegal parking on crushed stone. So when the property was transformed and sold, and I don't know what the permitting was on the demolition or the driveway, but the driveway was repaved, completely enveloping a large area. So it's not a legacy driveway, it's a brand new driveway. We can go take an asphalt sample on it, and it's no more than a year and a half, 2 years old. So it is a new driveway. So we're not remedying something that's been there that's an eyesore. This is a new creation to clear a property of trees, structures to allow for development. Okay, so that's the statement there. In terms of the use of the property, so I have many neighbors who are on vacation, direct abutters across the street. I look on the property kind of on a corner adjacent, looking out my kitchen window on it. The property proposal here is massive. Not something that can be decided on in a night, not something that can be decided upon in 4 weeks. This is a massive development, a massive change, very complex, as the planning department has alluded. What we have previously, as I alluded in my letter here, is when children lived on the site, they had one place, and we're looking for families, right? We're looking to attract families to our school systems. The kids would play in the back lot area, which they have another request to build another, basically doubling the size of the existing structure on the back lot. That's where the swing sets were, that's where the trampoline, that's where the kids would play. The structure, which they don't represent in, or the lot, in the photos, is a very high elevation front. There's a 4 foot high retaining wall. The kids cannot play in the front yard. Any yardage that kids would play in would be the back spaces. So they're taking up that one back space, and they're leaving basically patio blocks for the 2 units that they're building near the driveway. So I would offer, and the last thing that we did have a restriction on the site, and I don't know if it remarkably changes here, but we had a restriction for the city of 6 vehicles in total, and when the non-compliance would happen, we'd call the police and they'd show up and issue violations. So there's been a lot of history to fight to keep this property within compliance, within the zoning, within the residential use. And happily, when the property was turned over, they did fix it up. It looks remarkably well kept now, and it has families or, you know, people living in it, which is great. Okay, and that's the use for the property. So I would argue that the proposal here, and there really hasn't been any neighborhood meetings, there hasn't been any discussion about this with anyone. We've got this through aldermen because we have a large neighborhood adjacent to, this is the boundary line between where basically Ward 4 begins in Auburndale. So this is the edge of Ward 4, all the way up Wolcott Street, all the way up Rowe, all the way up Auburndale Ave. All of the housing and all the neighbors there, this is all residential. I know some of them have, you know, back when their parents in the 1950s created an in-law apartment within, so might be some two-family stuff. It's all single-unit occupancy on lots. There's no massive four-unit development in this area, and I would argue that this is very much an overstep. I think what should be on is a reapproach proposal to say, you know, do we go ahead and reestablish the carriage house as some sort of, in its prior location as a domicile? That's been done in Auburndale and other places. They look very attractive. They're much smaller. They fit with the character of the property as it existed. But extending the units plus the doubling the size of the existing structure, very much an overstep.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else on this petition, come on up. And we'll be very clear, we're not voting on this tonight. The public hearing is going to remain open.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Chris Markowitz. I live at 382 Wolcott Street, so I'm about 700 feet from the proposed construction site. I'll be brief because most of what I'm going to say, I think, has been substantially covered. I would also state that I am a member of the Residents for Responsible Development in Auburndale, and we have been involved in a number of petitions, both for 40B and for special permit. You answered my third point tonight. We were going to ask that the public hearing remain open because a number of people who would normally be here are away, and a preliminary poll from those who are available has indicated that there is some real concern and need for further discussion about this. But I would just say kind of quickly that I don't know that this is, you know, the design, I'll give you the design, another design, and well thought out, but I think the bigger issue here is at what point is zoning in Auburndale going to be relevant? We've already mentioned that there's a number of non-conforming uses of property. And now we want to extend the non-conforming use of the non-conforming thing. So where does it end? I'll just close and say that that's what is a factor there. traffic is a problem, the area of row where this will actually be done is a mess in the morning because the truck will wasn't even construction. There's a problem, they wouldn't require a police detail. But, you know, Bruce School, it's full. We might take the long garage road out of there. But, you know, at what point do we pass the point of the $15,000 for another kidney school system? And, no, it's not. It's $40 million to build a new school. So I think those things, you know, have to be part of a broader conversation here when we take this back up. Thank you,
sir. Anybody else wish to speak this evening? Come on up, and then this gentleman here. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm James Straker, 5961 Rose Street, directly across from where the proposed new construction would be. Everybody's spoken so eloquently, there's not a whole lot I can add, except to point out that the multiple family houses in the area were built as single-family dwellings originally and were subdivided 50, 60 years ago. Proposing to build a brand-new multifamily house in a single-family zone is contrary to the zoning ordinances, and I think it should be rejected on that. They said everything.
Thank you, sir. Come on up, please. Good evening.
My name is Phil Wallace, 340 Walcott Street, Auburndale. I think it's very important, as was mentioned earlier in the discussion, that the committee consider the precedent here. There are a number of other lots of this size, not so far away from this lot, that don't have non-conforming uses, but if you're going to allow a sort of second non-conforming use, maybe you're squaring the non-conforming use, then, what does that say for a precedent for other lots that are 18, 20,000 square feet that are nearby? They're not abutters. They're just off that map a little ways, but on Walcott Street, there are a number of those. So please do weigh heavily the idea of the precedent.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else this evening? All right. Seeing none, the public hearing is going to remain open, but I'm going to ask my colleagues for either particularly questions or pieces of information they want from either the planning department or the petitioner before we take this up again. And my intent is not to take this up in August, but most likely September 20th or 27th. Again, check with our committee clerk on that to verify. We've got to see what else is on those evenings. Councillor Gentile.
So I'm not going to say a word about the merits of the proposal. I just want to speak for a minute on the process, and I have a request. There was a time, I know I sound like a broken record, but there was a time when if someone was going to seek a special permit, as soon as they walked into City Hall, whether they ended up at Inspectional Services or they ended up in planning, they were asked if they had talked to the ward alderman within the ward in which the project was being proposed, and they had a neighborhood meeting. And depending on the response to those questions, they were told to go and meet the alderman, contact the alderman, let them know what they were doing, and work on setting up a neighborhood meeting. Things have changed drastically. I don't think for the better you've heard me say that. And instead of the neighbors and the councilors being contacted early on in the process, we're the last ones that get contacted. And I am sick and tired of my intelligence being insulted by someone telling me that they're interested in my opinion on a project when they don't seek my opinion on the project when it's being formulated. They hand me a set of done plans and say, here's the project, what do you think about it? That, to me, is not the right way to go about things. So my request is, first of all, is the petitioner here tonight, the actual petitioner? Okay. So this is just another thing that has evolved. I haven't heard from the actual petitioner. Petitioner can't even come here tonight. What people are doing increasingly, at least the woman earlier tonight was here, but what I'm noticing is a lot of times petitioners just hire an attorney, send them in, let them do all the heavy work, and they don't even get involved. That isn't good business to me. So my request is that I appreciate that you're not going to take this back up until mid-September, and I appreciate you doing that. But I would ask you to instruct the petitioner to reach out to the neighborhood and prior to you taking this back up again, to organize a good old-fashioned neighborhood meeting up here at City Hall or whatever, so that people can have a chance to sit down and look at the plans and give some feedback.
Well, Councilor Gentile, I can't instruct the petitioner to do anything.
Well, you can suggest
it. But, I mean, if I could. I think Attorney Morris has been around the block here long enough. I think he is hearing the sentiment, and I would, as I did with Pulsifer Street earlier this evening, would urge the petitioner to sit down and talk with the neighbors well in advance of this coming back here, to at least offer an opportunity for discussion. I share, while I don't agree with everything Councilor Gentile said, I do believe quite strongly that an opportunity for petitioners to talk to neighbors is healthy and often results in better projects. So,
okay, and then just one quick question.
Sure.
Earlier, Attorney Morris mentioned that he had been to the Historic Commission and they had, quote, approved the plans. I didn't know that our Historic Commission often oversteps their charge, their bounds, in my opinion. But I didn't know that they were actually in the business now of approving plans. Last I knew, they were involved in, you know, demolition delays and things like that. So could he just briefly explain by what happened by them, quote, approving the plans?
Councilor Gentile, you've been here long enough to know that everybody who wants to change the look of a building that is more than 50 years old has to start with the Historic Commission. And when I say they approve the plans, it means they have to approve any proposed renovations, alterations, removals, any of that. This is not the first rodeo here. They did it on 7775 Adams Street. They did it on Mr. Sewell's project on Robin Park. They've done it on a number of projects that you voted on, so I can't understand why you can sit there and say,
Attorney Morris, did they comment at all on the second structure?
They did not comment at all. I didn't say they approved. I said they approved the renovations and additions to the historic house. That's all I said.
I just want the record clear. The Historic Commission charged with looking at the historic structure. They did so, and you reported out to us that for the historic structure, they were fine and approved it 6-0.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Questions or comments from my colleagues? I have one for Attorney Moore. Well, two. The driveway that was referenced, is it in fact, was the driveway repaved within the last year and a half?
The driveway, the basic contours of the driveway shown in the site plan were there. What the gentleman is referring to is that the rest of the site that was pea stone, or however you described the gravel, was paved. So there was an expansion of the paved area, which was previously gravel.
Okay. And my second question is alluded to in the materials. You're really asking us essentially to allow you to divide a single lot into two and to build two-family structures. Why aren't you at the Zoning Board of Appeals?
Because the zoning ordinance allows for this kind of petition. And I've been before the zoning board years ago where I tried to get a variance and they say, you can go to the Board of Alderman and get a special permit.
Well, theoretically, you can get a special permit from us. That is true.
So will you have their position then, admittedly, it was a long time ago, was that will you have a mechanism within the ordinance to do something by special permit, a variance is not appropriate.
And your view is that we could allow we can allow two-family structures on this property. Why?
Because the two-family use now is a non-conforming use. We're asking to extend the non-conforming use in two ways. By an expansion of the existing structure and the placement of a second structure.
If you came to us and said, I want to build 6 units here, what would prevent us from approving that under your theory?
That's not the petition before.
I know that, but that wasn't my question. Was if you came here with 6 units under your theory, we could do that too, right?
No, I don't believe so, but I'm not in a position to opine on that right now. That's
why not?
Because that's not the petition that I presented. That's not the argument that I made.
What you're saying to us is you have a non-conforming use already. Therefore, we have the right to extend the non-conforming use, and I'm trying to find out what the limits of that would be.
But the non-conforming use is a two-family house.
And we're adding another two-family.
If we would extend it to 6 units, that would be the equivalent of multi-family dwellings.
But 4 is not.
Pardon?
But 4 units is not.
4 units is not, because you have a two-family house that was there, and you have a new two-family house.
I'd like for our next meeting, if planning could, and legal could opine a little bit there. If you're prepared to do it now, go ahead. But I'm just trying to get some clarity, because one of the things that was raised in the planning memo is where was the approval for future petitions?
The Newton zoning ordinance is very liberal when it comes to permitting the change of one non-conforming use to another. And if you recall, that was the approach that was successfully taken with regard to the Melrose Turtle Lane project, where that was a non-conforming use, and it was, in fact, then, through this type of special permit, allowed to have the expansion of the theater use, as well as the creation of a much larger multi-residence dwelling. And that was it, from one non-conforming use to a second new, different non-conforming use. The criteria that's important to bear in mind in any of these changes is whether or not the new proposed non-conforming use is substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming use to the neighborhood. And that is something that's within the discretion of the body.
That's very helpful. Thank you. Yes, Councilor Harney?
A couple of quick questions for Attorney Morris. Was there a landscaping plan included?
Yes. It's part of your package.
Didn't see it, but I just thought some of the concerns that I had before we meet again. First and foremost is, you really, when you look at this plan here, you really can kind of understand the density of what's being proposed. When you look at this lot and you see all that's being put in there, so I think the neighbors are quite concerned about density, and they have a legitimate concern about what is being put in on this lot that is already non-conforming.
Yeah, first of all, the new proposed smaller duplex is much smaller than the barn that was there before. Much smaller. You saw the earlier photograph. That barn is almost as big as a house.
I recall that barn very, very well, and I don't agree with your contention.
I'm just showing you the photo.
Well, we can discuss that at a later date, but I have serious concerns about the proximity to the 60, 62, 64 Rose Street. What is being proposed comes very, very close to that property line, and I believe trees were taken down along that property line. Is that correct?
I don't believe so. I can't say that for certain.
Okay. Maybe not.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you get an answer for us before you come back here next time?
So it's the density, it's the location of where these units are and how close they come to the other condos at the end of Rose Street there, of which someone...
If I might comment on that location, and we cited it at the rear of the site for two reasons. One, because the barn is located at the rear of the site, and because we did not want to overwhelm the historic structure at the front. It's also opposite their garage. Their property is forward of the site, and this property is behind it. If you look at the way it's situated, we're up front, we're up back. Okay, we're opposite their garage. And the other thing is, the notion that's a condominium, I'm glad that was made part of the record. because those units, if you look at the sales price of those units, those are affordable units, and that's what we're proposing here. The proposed units are equal to or smaller than those units because we want to make them affordable in the marketplace. So to think that this is like building another two-family house of 3,000 square feet, it's just, that's not it. That's not what's going on.
Leads me into my final question. I had sent an email out, I know you're on vacation, but asking if the petitioner would consider making one of the units an affordable unit. And I
returned from vacation just 3 hours ago, and I took your email.
I don't need to know the answer right now, but...
I do want to respond to that. First, I'll make the point that I just... repeat the point that I just made, that the smaller these units is in an effort to make them affordable in the marketplace, an argument that you heard on Melrose Street as well. The other situation is this. My client is out of town himself. I will consult with him and ask him whether that's... if that's what's necessary to get the project approved, then obviously that he would have a, that should weigh in on the argument, the discussion.
All set, Councilor Hunter?
Yes, thank you.
Councilor Cody?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And then we're gonna, unless anyone else is something, I want to wrap up and move on to the next one.
Yeah, this is mostly just a procedural comment anyway. So I would much rather see this go before zoning rather than seeing it come through special permit process, because I can't see myself ever getting around this project that I would agree that it's a good project. So because of that, I think that we need to look at it on the basis of go to zoning and see what they think the merits are. Basically, this is spot zoning without doing the zoning. And I'd rather see it go through that direction first, whether the opinion leaves will be held it tonight or if we, whatever.
We're not gonna act on it tonight.
We're not voting
on it tonight.
But that would be my opinion, would be more.
Thank you, Councilor Cody. Anybody else? All right, can I have a motion to hold this item? Councilor Harney, motion to hold. All in favor of hold. 3-6 in favor, none opposed. Again, either September 20 or 27. Ms. Khan, would you be kind enough to speak to the abutters so they can get contact info? And you heard our suggestion about trying to meet with the neighbors. Thank you. Okay, next. We are going to 218-16, special permit to allow a three-story structure and exceed the FAR at 20 Ferncroft Road. This is Matt and Wendy Finer in Ward 5. Mr. Sachs, have a busy evening. Good evening. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter Sachs. I am representing Wendy and Matt Finer. This petition is requesting relief for a third story and for some FAR relief, in total FAR relief of 0.05. Before I talk about the project, I want to be certain that the members of the committee are aware that the Finers did a very nice job in reaching out to their neighbors. I believe that there are four letters of support. I just wanted to be certain that everybody has them.
I think we got all those. Correct, colleagues? Okay.
Specifically, if I'm looking at the front of the house, the neighbor to the left, the neighbor directly behind, and two neighbors directly across the street submitted letters of approval, and the Finers were also told by three other neighbors that they had submitted approval. So, but I guess since they're not in your packages, I can't certify that, but I did want to mention that. Again, same problem as earlier this evening, a house built with a very large garage, which is almost 630 square feet, which is effectively part of a basement, and then a one-story building. And what the Finers would like to do is to build a master bedroom suite above on what we would typically refer to as the second floor, but in fact is the third floor because of grading, average grading issues, making the basement a story. Principally, the construction is taking place behind the ridge line in the back of the building. And I believe that, or would like to posit to the committee that I've improved the elevation of the front of the house. It is currently very similar to his very tall fiberglass columns, which I think we've done a nice job of changing the scale and making the building a little bit more appealing. I'll entertain any questions.
Great, thank you. Planning, is this yours, Mr. Corning?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So as Mr. Sachs noted, this is a request to allow a three-story single-family structure and to exceed the floor area ratio. When reviewing this request, the council should consider whether the site is an appropriate location for the expanded residence. The request to allow a three-story single-family structure will not adversely affect the neighborhood. And the request to increase the FAR is consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. As you can see, Ferncroft Road is off of Beacon Street, which is just west of the Four Corners intersection. And as Mr. Sachs noted, the addition is largely to the rear of the structure, taking place within the footprint of the existing building. This is the existing front elevation, and this is the proposed. So there's an addition there of a front porch. The roof line is increased on the front, and this right elevation shows the change to the roof line, how much of the mass and bulk is to the rear of the existing structure. Now, answer any questions.
Good. Great. Thank you, Mr. Cronin. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, can I have a motion to close the public hearing? The Ward Council Crosley, all in favor of closing the public hearing? Favor of closing the public hearing, Councilor Schwartz? 6 in favor and none opposed? We are going to discuss it. We're going to close the public hearing. Alright, is there any comments or questions by my colleagues? Anyone? No questions, as you know, are good. Yes, did you want to say something?
I did. This is not a criticism, but there's something wrong with this projection of equipment, because there's some sort of parallax of distortion vertically, and however we're showing some of these images, there's a vertical distortion. I just wanted to point that out.
You know, I appreciate that, and what I'm going to ask is that offline, if you'd be kind enough to communicate with the planning department and Ms. Khan, and maybe help us out here, that would be appreciated.
Will do.
Okay. Yes, Councilor Lennon.
Just so you're aware, we are in discussion with NewTV about some new projection equipment, not only the cameras, but here, so I don't know if that'll help her in conversation about that. Hopefully meeting, following up on that on Monday.
All right.
I don't actually know what you're talking about, but
but that never stopped any member of the council,
Scott.
Does it have to do with the garage? Is that what you're talking about?
No, all of the vertical lines are
correct. I'm teasing you. I did have a question.
Oh, please, go ahead. Councilor Lennon,
I did have a question, though.
If you show the front, the front view, so I know you designed this, and you might not like to hear this, but
the block up front just looks funny compared to where we were before. Was there any consideration given it so that the back would just be, like, you know, come off the back? So you wouldn't see that little block on the top.
I appreciate the comment. No, because there is an answer. The attic in this building is only about 6 feet high. And so my point is that this picture actually attenuates the height of the building enormously, so it's a very inaccurate portrayal of the actual proportions of what you might see. But in answer to your question, the headroom issue at the existing ridge line was adjusted and were able to get to that third story behind the ridge because there's enough headroom. So it's effectively just a physical limitation that the existing building has. So sort of a form-following function.
Okay, fair enough. I don't want your client thinking I'm trying to tell your house looks funny. I'm just trying to point out what I was wondering. Why
I told him where you live.
Come look at my funny house, that's all right.
Anybody else have any questions or comments on this? Pretty straightforward on this one. Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
Just to try to clarify, I think what you meant was, if I understand it correctly, the parallax or whatever, is that, like on the plan, the house is a lot more horizontal.
Correct. If you look at the drawings, the house appears much more horizontal than vertical. And
that's more accurate.
I mean, it is not the most beautiful home, but this distortion makes it look rather unusual.
Gotcha. And, yeah, I'll agree.
Thank you.
All right. Questions, comments? Can I have a motion to approve? This is Councilor Crosley's ward. Motion to approve. All in favor of we need a board order first. I'm sorry. Boy, I'm really rushing us along here. What a mistake. The motion to approve, so we have a order here. Right. Questions on the findings and comments? Any other findings, Mr. Fleming? Nope.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Yes, Councilor Crosley.
I think it might be useful to, in the findings,
sure,
to put those back up. The addition was is within the...
Could you speak into your microphone?
I think I am. Oh, sorry. That the addition is within the existing footprint of the structure and to the rear, the additional story is facing to the rear of the building.
Okay. Good. We okay with adding that? Okay. All right, anything else? All right, seeing no, we have a motion by Councilor Crosley, all in favor of approval. 6 in favor, none opposed. Good luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have two more items this evening. 233-16, special permit to increase FAR and non-conforming use at 45-47 Noble Street. Anna Ramsinski, and this is in Ward 3. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Anna Ramsinski. I live at 45 Noble Street in London. So I'm the owner of the house, and I could fully present it in, you know, 2 sentences. So the project is, we're building a rear dormer to make the first floor into livable space. Currently, it's a two-family house, 2.5 stories, and an SRC zoning with a lot of two-family houses in the area. A lot of them are 2.5 stories like ours. And just a little bit of background, we started this project. Didn't know we were going to have to do a special permit. We just were going to finish the existing attic. Turned out we couldn't have a livable space there. Therefore, we're building a dormer. Increase in the FIR from existing 47 to 57 with allowable 50. And also extending non-conforming use. So let me know if there's any questions.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Thank you, ma'am. Planning, yours again. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the applicant noted, it's a special permit to extend the existing non-conforming two-family use and to exceed the maximum FAR. When reviewing this request, the council should consider whether the site is an appropriate location for the expanded residence. The proposed expansion of a non-conforming two-family residential use is not substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conformity is to the neighborhood. And the proposed increase in FAR is consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. The Noble Street here off 30th Street to the northwest is the, I believe, Moody Street corridor into Waltham. This is the rear of the structure in the existing. And this is the proposed dormer to the rear of the structure. Now, is there any questions the committee may have?
Thank you. Okay, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion. Well, I'll hold off closing the public hearing until we have any questions for petitioner. Questions, anyone? Comments? Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
Just again, a question for the planning department. Did you, I mean, so the FAR is going to 0.57 when 0.50 is allowed. So do we have a sense, when we're talking about not in derogation to the neighborhood, what the other nearby homes, FARs are close to? I know it's very difficult for you to fully grasp that, but did you do any analysis or look at that?
I don't have the FARs, but the lots in this area are small, and the thinking was that since the addition is to the rear of the structure and it's not going to be visible from the street, that the additional mass is not going to be in derogation to the other structures.
Do the other structures have third floors like this?
I would have to double check to see and make sure before I answer that.
Yes, you can answer this. So that neighbors across the fence have a third floor dormer facing our house. So, and our neighbors to the right also have a third floor dormer. And I'm not sure about neighbors to the left, but hope that helps.
Okay. Just one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm a little rusty on my dormer ordinance, but aren't there some rules about how close it can be to the corner of the building?
It is 3 feet from the corner of the roof line, so this is in compliance with that. However, there is supposed to be some kind of architectural detail, whether it's roof or something else, between the vertical plane of the dormer and the plane of the story below. So something like a skirt or something like that would need to be added at the building permit stage, and it would be the planning department's recommendation to approve the petition subject to that change in order to comply with the section.
Should we not do that now? I don't understand why that would wait. Don't we normally have a full set of plans before we approve?
This was something that was missed by the department until just very recently.
Okay.
So when we craft a board order for this, should we include that as a condition?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Councilor Cody? Okay. Motion to close the public hearing. Motion to close the public hearing by Councilor Cody. All in favor? 6 in favor and none opposed. Public hearing is closed. I have a motion to approve. Motion to approve. Do I have a draft board order?
And one last signing.
Okay. Questions on the findings? Everyone good with them? Okay. Conditions, please. We're going to need to add a condition then, right?
We will add a condition that requires that there be a skirt put in according to the ordinance to break the line of the third story dormer.
Ma'am, do you understand what's being required here?
Yeah, I spoke earlier today with you, and she mentioned that, you know, that hadn't come out before, and so we phoned our structural engineer, and she confirmed that she'd be able to redraw the drawing. So.
All right, she'll be able to take care of this without too much trouble?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Okay. All right. Anything else from the committee? Councilor Schwartz?
Sorry, I just took a quick scan of the zoning memo. So is there not, there's already a nonconformity in the front setback that we're continuing? Setback 25, existing 16, no change.
Right. There's no change.
But we're continuing that nonconformity.
Correct. Okay. There's several nonconformities here, I think. The existing lot line size, the frontage setback.
that nonconformity does not need a special permit reference because it's not being affected by the proposal. What's being accepted is the nonconforming two-family because that's actually expanding in terms of the footprint of the bulk of the building.
Okay. All right, we have a motion by Councillor Cote. All in favor of approval? 6 in favor, none opposed. Good luck, ma'am. We'll be taking this up August 8th. There's no need for you to appear that evening. Do check in with the planning department if you have any questions. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, last but not least, 195-16, special permit to extend a nonconformance and increase FAR at 41 Chesley Road. Michael McKay, this is Ward 6. This is a continuation of a hearing that we had earlier. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Michael McKay, I'm the project architect, and with me is Steve Vittori and Brian Humphreys are the property owners. As you mentioned, we were in front of the board on June 24th, and it was suggested at that time that several things. Number one, we prepare a detailed landscape plan that indicated the amount of trees that were being removed, and to set up a meeting with the neighbors in the rear of the property, the condominium. On July 11th, the owners of the property did meet with the neighbors. The plan was presented to them. We have we took care of the trees in the rear of the property. Actually, none of those are being proposed to be removed. Many of them are on the neighbor's property, so they're marked on the plan, but they're not our trees. We are adding a row of hemlocks to prevent any car lighting from spilling on either. The condominium association parking lot is in the back, but vice versa. We're also proposing a line of arborvitaes at the driveway to, again, try to mitigate any type of car lights that would shine through. The plan does indicate the amount of trees proposed that are existing and that have been removed. There are 9 trees being removed. Most of those are on the driveway side, and they're oversized Norway maples that are frankly not in great shape. Mark Welch reviewed the plan. He did say that we would need to conform with the tree ordinance, which we're planning on doing. We're adding a row of trees along the rear of the property, and also another agreement with the direct abutter to the right of the property. There will be a row of arborvitaes basically from the rear of the property all the way down to the street line. There's an existing hedgerow that would be removed, and the arborvitae row would be installed. In addition, there would be a fence, 6-foot fence installed along that line. A couple of things that were brought up at the neighborhood meeting, I think in support, is a parking problem in this neighborhood. The major reason why we're increasing the FAR is to add over 600 square feet of parking garage. There's a 2-car garage for one unit and a single car for the rear unit. Right now, there is no garage, so people are either parking in the driveway or on the street, and the street is it's on the edge of the center of town, so the parking has been an issue, and it was looked at as a positive to provide those 2 garages. I just here to answer questions. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Questions by planning, do you want to add anything, Mr. Cronin? I think we've seen this before, so have they addressed, in your mind, have they addressed the concerns we've raised?
Yes, I didn't hear the beginning of the presentation, but from the previous meeting, the biggest concerns were the landscaping both to the north and to the west neighbors, and also the drainage structures. As you can see, there is a large subsurface drainage structure to the rear of the structure, or to the rear property line. They're rolling into the drainage calculations and other processes need to be done at the building permit stage, but that is something that engineering requires at the building permit stage.
Good, thank you. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on up, sir, please. Good evening. Thank you for your patience and waiting.
Thanks.
That's all right. Cable tower, direct neighbor to the north, 37 Chesley Road. Basically, the applicant solicited input from us and other neighbors in the process, and before the last meeting, and then subsequent to that, because the neighbors at the rear, Lindsay and John Berkowitz, hadn't participated in that process. They came in on the 11th of July. Before they left earlier this evening, they asked us to say that they were satisfied with the discussion with the builders and that their concerns had been mitigated. Other than that, we support the plan and think it will be a useful addition to the neighborhood, and that's it.
Good. Thank you very much, sir. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to be heard? All right. Any questions or comments by colleagues? Yes, Councillor Crosley.
A really tiny question. I appreciate having the landscape plan and seeing the screening and to see the trees that are coming out. And you said the Norway maples are not in great shape, et cetera. There's a couple elm trees in here. Are they diseased?
Yeah, they're not in great shape at all, especially against the property line. One thing we will say that if we can keep those trees, if we can keep any of them after the bad maples are removed, we will try to keep them. It's just, if you saw them, they're multi-rooted and they're distorted, they're cutting through fences, they're just some damage.
They don't have Dutch elm?
No.
Okay. All right. Too bad. Thank you.
Councillor Crosley?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Schwartz?
I want to comment.
Oh, President Lennon, did you want to say something?
No, one of the petitioners, I think, wanted to add to.
I'm sorry, what?
The petitioners wanted to add.
Is there something you want to add, sir? Come on up. If you do, you need to come up to the microphone, please. State your name and address.
I just wanted to say on behalf of what Michael O'Brien Humphreys, I just wanted to say on behalf of what Mike was saying with the trees that we wanted to keep on the property, it does add good separation from the commercial space that's there, so we'd like to keep them if we can. We're just really looking at the condition of the trees to see if it makes sense. So,
thank you, sir. Councilor Schwartz?
To add a comment that I was able to be present at the subsequent meeting with the neighbors and Councilor Blazer as well. We found that the neighbors have left, but they spoke very positively about this project. The petitioner met most of the concerns that have been, all the concerns that were raised. We did talk about this issue, about trying to save as many of those trees along that borderline. Unfortunately, it's right on the border with a commercial lot that's been poorly maintained, and they don't have a lot of control over that. So, at this point, I think that the petitioners have done a great job.
And thank you, Councillor Schwartz, for meeting. And I'll just add, I know we only have a few people here, but the dialogue with the councillor, the neighbors, and the developer is the type of dialogue we try to encourage here. I actually think it's going to produce a better project for you and for the neighbors as well. So thank you. Okay. We have a motion to close the public hearing. Motion to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 6 in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. I have a motion to approve. Motion to approve a draft board order. Okay. Any other findings? Okay. Questions or comments from the findings on this page, number 3. Are there any more, Mr. Klein?
No, just the conditions.
Okay.
And I believe there is a tree ordinance requirement as well, in addition to the requirement.
You allowed that as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Questions in the order? Anybody? Okay. We have a motion to approve by Councillor Schwartz. All in favor of approval? 6 in favor, none opposed. It's approved. We'll take this up on August 8th. No need to appear at that time. And thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. And we're adjourned.
When you enter, try to move it along.
Yeah. Neil, thank you.
Thank you.